We do have a change in the venue tonight. Listen, tonight, The Last Exorcist. Years ago, I sat right in a, police academy, a law enforcement agent, author of the book, The Satan Hunter. He got me in along with some of our friends, and there in the law enforcement police academy, Opata, we sat and we watched slides, hundreds of them, on ritual crimes. Now, I've seen the pentagrams carved into chests, heads cut off, bodies, blood, all the rest. We were listening to law enforcement as they talked about ritual sites and, how to approach them. So I've seen slides like this again and again and again, and we've been engaged with this now for over 25 years. So what I'm about to tell you tonight, with the change of venue, I was a little tired of the book by Sylvia Brown. But I did go out tonight to see the movie The Last Exorcist. Others have always wanted me to see movies like that, The Exorcism of Emily Rose and all the rest of them, to say, you know, what do you think about this? There's a lot of Hollywood hype. There's a lot of misconception. There's all kinds of things that seem really bizarre and off base. And even though this movie is said to be basically a fake, a mockumentary, as some call it, there's some elements we're going to talk about tonight. Because I don't want to gloss over the fact that there are millions of ritually abused that have been in psych wards since the 80s and trying to find their way out of the dark, murky waters of subpersonalities, demons, triggers, coven handlers, and watchers. I don't even doubt that tonight there would be perpetrators that do listen and monitor what we say, let alone the victims out there. So tonight, on September the 9th, a Thursday evening, 6 p.m. to 7, I do believe it's a providential hour. I do believe that you and I are here by divine appointment, and I do pray the hand of God to reach out. Now, there may be psychics and remote viewers and New Agers that are coming tonight because the series on Sylvia Brown's book, The Mystical Life of Jesus. Well, we want to make sure that we touch on that tomorrow night, but I literally was getting a little bit of just sick of this book, sick of what has been written and the mockery, the bigotry, the literal hate, and I'll share that on Friday night unless we have some other kind of interruption. But tonight, Thursday the 9th, we're going to do a change. We're going to talk about exorcism and this movie and what was real and what is not. And we will take a look at maybe what you've been involved in, maybe what you may be involved in. And let's peel back and be able to look what's behind the scenes. Now, listen, many of you know that my premise is that mass numbers of rituals have been going on in the United States, all over Europe. It's one of the reasons why there is so much dark, ominous presence. Now, you're going to have to look at some of the factors. You're going to have to look at some of the research. And you may have to get involved, especially as a believer in Christ, in doing what God led Ezekiel to do in Ezekiel chapter 8. When the actual coven rituals were going on, when human sacrifice was going on, when everything was happening out there, the factors were nobody knew what was going on behind the scenes. Now, here's the issue. I've heard victims year after year after year so many times ask why nobody came to help them, why nobody came to get them out. That's part of what's done to them along the way as a child. Hopelessness. Absolute, sheer, utter hopelessness. So as we get into this tonight, let me give you the heads up tonight. Also, I don't have any news factors today. There's all kinds of news, but I want to give a heads up because two nights ago, on the satanic ritual calendar, September the 7th, That was Marriage to the Beast. And I'm going to tell you right now, unless you're absolutely serious, spiritually strong and growing stronger, and unless you're absolutely dedicated to understanding what's going on underneath the carpet, the secret power of lawlessness and all that is involved with that, unless you're very interested in dealing with it, then you may only look from afar and hear the stories. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of people, they don't even want to hear the stories. They don't want to know. I want you to know that in law enforcement, there were officers, they didn't want to know. That the whole issue of demonization, powers, dark powers, the scary things, even law enforcement agents with their weapons have come to me for prayer, asking me to pray over them. Let me tell you something. If you're law enforcement, the best thing you can do in the dealing of occult and satanic crimes is find real believers in Christ that know how to, that know what it is to be powerful in prayer and powerful in spiritual warfare, and be there to back you up. I've shared with all kinds of law enforcement over the years that it's absolutely a necessity. A necessity. Dealing with occult and satanic crimes and ritual abuse, satanic ritual abuse, let me tell you something. You are going to need expert investigative skills that understand the language, the mode of operation, the trace evidence. You're going to have to do a lot in your understanding of how to track it down, and you're going to need great prayer to break through the satanic powers that are operative in keeping all of it, well, behind the scenes, covered up, secretive. Let me tell you what's coming up. And here's the alert for all the prayer warriors out there too. September the 21st, Midnight Host. It's all about blood ritual. Dismemberment of the hands. The Hands of Glory ritual. Anybody studying it knows that it's about a horrific killing of a in human sacrifice of a human being that's alive and pretty much alert as they're being stabbed over and over and over again, as blood is being shed over a long period of time, as there is sexual perverted things being done to them, so that the blood, the energies, and all that's going on, the powers are being raised, the energies are being raised. Now, again, the summoning of the demons, usually by demon-empowered, demonized, experienced individuals. A summoning of the powers, attaching to the energies to the person. And eventually, at some point, there is the final power, death. At that moment, supposedly, all the powers that have now, they've literally come to swim in the river of blood. Attached to the fear, the energies of fear and terror and all the rest. You know, really grab a hold of all of this and revel in it. It's a doorway. It's a broad doorway as it's being worked, as this ritual magic, dark ritual is being, and it's been done in all of history. All the way back to the days of Israel, listen, it's been done. It's very clear concerning the days of Manasseh, very clear concerning Ezekiel chapter 8. This has been done, it is done. And let me tell you something, I've seen the slides in Law Enforcement Academy of the Hands of Glory that have been found afterward. See, they take the hands, particular herbs, they're all bagged up and buried. The goal is kind of to petrify, to be able to have those hands and have them there on the altar. The Hands of Glory, they're hands of satanic power. They are objects of power. If you ever, as a law enforcement agent, come upon this or find this or engage this, it's guaranteed that there will be demonic power on the hands of glory. Now, the body of the human being that has gone through this, they'll be discarded. Now, we were called into the case here locally of a young lady. Well, not a young lady. But it was said in our investigative side of it, she was multiple, had many personalities. Others were messing with her. The individual that did the slaughtering did get caught. And it may be that there were others there and they did not get caught. But our hands were removed. We were called in to be part of, well, at least the defense attorney was seeking our insight on multiplicity satanic crimes. It's a big old story here. You can Google the name Brett Hartman on death row, but the girl, Winda, she's gone. She's gone forever. But they never found the hands. It all occurred right before this date, September 21st, years ago. And again, I'm going to just give the alert, and I'm going to tell you this is how it's got to be discovered. Let me tell you, on the site, shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net. Scroll down a little ways. You're going to see a box. It says Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. When you click on that, it talks about how to detect them, how to find them. It even has, I think, up to 12 hours now. We were going to add an hour tonight, maybe tomorrow morning, another hour to this. But it goes over, listen to some of these topics, okay? There's an introduction. Under session number one, how do you detect if satanic rituals are being done in your area? Then number two, search and destroy, a redemptive approach to engaging covens and dark rituals in your area. Number three, tracking the secret power of lawlessness, biblical, prophetic, and local revelations. Then we go into part four, unleashing the authority of Christ in multiple directions. Part number five deals with supernatural help for law enforcement's approach to satanic crimes. Part 5B, specific prayer and Holy Spirit's presence in investigating SRA and ritual sacrifice. Part 6, out of the darkness into the light, battling the prince of darkness and bringing lives to Christ. Part 7, finding victims of ritual abuse, satanic rituals and possession, dealing with salvation, healing, and deliverance. And part 8 deals with finding the sites, the locations, the hidden places where they meet, where the powers are raised, what to watch for. We're talking about the high places. Part 9, the inverted counterfeit satanic Pentecost. Part 10, the coming global class ritual release of power. Part 11, 1 and 2, the entities behind the energy, the Akashic Records, the global mind and the fallen cherub. And then we go into part 12, 13, and 14, and we may even add more to this series. Let me tell you right now, let me just lay out some stuff, then we'll talk about the movie, okay? Number one, I will say that in every single city in the United States, satanic rituals have been done, are being done, have been done this month, will be done massively next month, all the way to All Hallows Eve, to Samhain. And they're going to be done. I'm going to say now that in all of our research, investigation, and so forth, that, and we bring this out, we'll bring this out at the conference, October 1st and 2nd, the Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference, coming up in Canton, Ohio. So we hope that you come. Tom Horn will be there. Derek and Sharon Gilbert will be there. Jeffrey Rad will be there. I will be doing one of my hours dealing with the subject. Now, the reason I'm bringing it up as special tonight is because we did go out and see the movie, The Last Exorcist. I'm going to tell you that I believe that in every single city in all of the United States, and clearly all of Europe, and for those that download later in Finland and the Netherlands and Norway and Sweden and Germany and Lithuania, the Czech Republic, Russia, Germany especially, all the way, England without question, no question in Canada, Australia. See, the reports have been coming out for over 30 years. The law enforcement side is one thing, which I believe only scrapes the tip of the iceberg when it comes to satanic and occult ritual crime. Let me tell you also of the millions now, probably in Europe, including now Russia. No question about it, there's going to be probably 20, 30 million victims. Oh, they're going to be in their 50s, in their 30s, 20s. They're going to be being raised right now, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds. There are now four generations of satanically ritually abused, those who've had their personalities split, where sub-personalities have been created, have been programmed, have been demonized, have been used in the rituals. And we're talking now in Europe and all of that area, I will say now, listen, we're talking 20 million or more. There are those that have estimated in the United States, 10 million. Let's drop it down to 5. Let's drop it down to what they said at Centennial Hospital there. I think it's in Denver, Colorado. It was Holly Hector that came up with the stats of 2.4 million cases, and that is back as early as 1994. It's unprecedented. It's off the scales. It's really out of the media now because the end of the 80s and 90s, that was the big heyday. And it's as if some people think that it's all gone away, and it's growing. All of the richly abused listening right now or listening later in the archives, write to me. Let us know a little bit of your story. Let me tell you right now, I've got one to deal with tonight on the phone from another state. I've got another tomorrow to deal with on the phone from another place. I've got one to visit that wants to be extracted out of another state. I've got another that is deeply injured right now in another state, and I don't know how we're even going to get to them. We've got another in southern Ohio. We got another that would love to come out of the West and find a place of freedom. All around us right now, we are talking still with the ritually abused, with the sub-personalities, coven-loyal personalities, wounded personalities, victimized personalities, those that want to get out. And yeah, we're still tracking it. And yeah, we're still praying for more and more and more of the uncontested evidences. And I do believe that more will be uncovered than ever before. And one of the most important series we've ever done, especially if you've read the book, The Black Awakening. The book, The Black Awakening, I'm going to just simply tell you, because I've got hundreds and hundreds, that deal with the subject of satanic ritual abuse and the rituals and all the stuff behind the scenes in history, past, current, what's growing. But in this book, we give the details of how they do it. And it's 664 pages, and all I can tell you is this. I could have written another 500 pages. More chapters are coming out. Other books will come out. But part of the issue is, if you're a counselor, a pastor, if you're one of those great believers that are willing to help and you're helping ritually abused, you know the terminology, SRA, MPD, DID, whatever you want to call it. The crimes are horrific. If there was only 1 million victims, only 1 million, and if those victims are in their 20s, or let's say they're in their 40s, then the averages would be well over 1,000 to 2,000 rituals they've been through since childhood. But let's cut it all the way down to, let's just say that a victim went through 500 over a 20-year period. All the victims out there, I apologize, we're only trying to scale this down so that some folks can grasp possibilities. I understand how broad it is. I understand that we are in now four generations. We've got 8, 9, 10-year-olds with sub-personalities, some of which can speak ancient twilight ritual languages, love the rituals, love the bloodshed, love the demons. And the most a psych ward can do is wrap them up, give them Thorazine, and try to keep them from harming anybody, including themselves. The truth about satanic ritual abuse in the 80s and 90s is it has not gone away. It is vastly underreported, and it has grown to be three times the size it was, if not four times the size it was in the 90s. Here we are right now, a very, very small group of us now. And that's why we will consider, once again, training many, recruiting many volunteers, and beginning to say, listen, here is a particular calling. I believe God gave it to Ezekiel at one point. Check out Ezekiel chapter 8 if you're a believer. The great prophet did not know what was going on in his own city. Pastors and leaders, I love the body of Christ. I love my brothers and sisters. Whether they are weak or whether they are strong, I am committed to my brothers and sisters in Christ everywhere. Understand, my central issue of unity is in the person of Christ. I understand the mission. That's what I pray is clear that I'm all about. But in this day, in this time in history, I believe in what God has given in prophetic revelation about what the dark side will be doing. It involves the absolute unprecedented numbers, powers, abilities of satanic rituals, human sacrifice, bloodletting, shedding. Because it becomes, for them anyway, it's one of the quickest and broadest and widest doors to bring the dark side to this side. Quickly, if you do go through the series, about 13, 14 hours already, and it's a training series. If I came to your area just to train on this, if I came to St. Louis, if I came to Los Angeles, if I came, doesn't make any difference, whatever city. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're listening to this live right now, if you are listening by the archives, by the thousands and thousands of you, I'm telling you that in your city, in the United States, Canada, throughout Europe, your area, your province, if there is one satanic, ritually abused person that you find out about, it is guaranteed that a coven, a satanic coven in deep, thick satanic secrecy has been operative for 30, 40, or 50 years. It is clear that if you find one victim in a small city, there's probably 30 other victims, ranging from those in their 50s to the next generation down, the next generation down, and you've got children in your community that are drawn into this very horrific agenda. I am absolutely positive that if counselors, those who've engaged and have worked 10, 20, 30 years with victims of SRA, I am convinced that they can all tell you that what I'm saying is absolutely true. I'm absolutely convinced that the victims can absolutely tell you without question that all of this is true. And we're talking hundreds of thousands of victims. Whether I've had victims in their 50s, late 30s, mid-20s, teenagers, even 8-year-olds. Called into coming to Kent, Ohio, a vineyard pastor introduces me to a woman with twin daughters, twins. I believe at the time they were 8 years old. They'd been going to a daycare center. And all of a sudden, a number of the parents are finding out their kids are missing time. There's something wrong mentally. They're beginning to find out some of their kids have sub-personalities. They are multiple personality disorder, or DID. At 8, 9 years old and 7 years old. And now some of the stories are coming out from some of the personalities within about rituals and shedding blood and ancient things and being taken places. And I sat there with 2 8-year-old girls and I talked to sub-personalities within them. I engaged demonic presence. I heard the stories that I've heard for over 25 years come out of the mouths of 45-year-old women and men who've been through the same process. If I can give you an alert tonight, if I could ask the Spirit of God to convince you and put upon you a sense of confirmation, if I could plead with you tonight and tell you that this is going on in the United States of America, you could look at all the political disintegration, economic disintegration. You could look at the shifting going on from an independent nation to the bleeding in of globalism, which is the fallen cherub's ultimate agenda. And I'm going to tell you right now that globalism comes on the back of rituals like this that we're talking about. I've been in the courts. I've been into the prisons. Been to the psych wards many, many times. I've been to homes and states all over the place. I've been with individuals dressed in black fatigues deep into the woods hunting down satanic rituals. We've been in places that have crossed the line in order to find, engage, and extract children that may have been going through satanic ritual abuse. I don't know about you, but I'm willing. The prophet Ezekiel, when God began to lead him over to the caverns, where God had to literally, by supernatural presence and power, open up kind of a doorway to be able to go inside. God had to do this. That's why I'm going to tell you again, when it comes to this kind of real bloodletting, human sacrifice, brotherhood, ancient brotherhood, Luciferic, human sacrifice, that every Christian that understands the manifest presence and power of the Holy Spirit, then you got to understand what I'm saying. Cloaking the ritual sites, cloaking the priests and elitists and all of their work is the thickest, darkest satanic power and presence manifested. And it's going to take powerful praying. It's going to take asking God to come. And it's going to take exercising the authority of Christ. It's going to take persistent prayer and believers that will not back off to do what I believe God's will. See, in Manasseh's day, God was going to engage. God eventually used Josiah. Without that intervention, as God said, nobody else said it, but God gave the report. Heaven's report was that innocent blood, human sacrifice and innocent blood, was being shed from one side of the nation to the other. 2 Kings, chapter 21, chapter 22. Have you read it? To my friends in the United States and Canada, Australia, now all over Europe, South America, South Africa, you know that it's going on. Among the Mayan culture, I have sat down and listened to an individual tell me of two Mayan children they have adopted, who explain how their father was killed, sacrificed in a ritual. Do you think for a moment that the massive bloody rituals that were done in public ways of the Mayans in the past, do you think for a moment that it's not being done in the hidden places there now? Do you think for a moment with the ramping up of this kind of doorway? If you don't understand anything about human sacrifice, the shedding of blood, understand that Christ on the cross, the shedding of innocent holy blood, involved a ripping down of the dark powers, a breaking of the issue of sin, and an opening of a doorway to direct personal fellowship with God. In order to be born of the Spirit of God, have God come live in your life, the blood of Christ shed on the cross. He gave his life. He didn't ask any of us to do it. Quite different when it comes to the underground. All the brotherhoods know. All the Luciferians know. Satan doesn't shed his blood. And the priests and priestesses that run the elite system, underground system, they don't shed their blood. They have others for that. They're the ones shedding the blood. They're the ones charging the blood. They're the ones drinking the blood. They're the ones taking in the powers. They're the ones unleashing the dark powers in the atmosphere over your cities and against your churches and towards your politicians for influence towards globalism. Now, you might think that we're a little crazy on this issue, but if you will come out of your shell, come out of the status quo and say, you know what, I want to go look under the carpet and see what's really going on. So I encourage all those who are believers, and you say you believe the Bible, go to Ezekiel chapter 8 and look what happened. Right there in the city of God. I'm going to tell you right now, I am absolutely convinced that right in Vatican City, the darkest and deepest of satanic rituals, let alone throughout the Catholic religious institutional system, the black rooms, all you got to do is read what the Catholic William Kennedy, in his book Lucifer's Lodge, in the facts and the information that he gives, all you got to do is look at the sexual abuse cases within the Catholic Church, Europe, and throughout the United States, and find out that when you look deeper into the whole subject, it's not just sexual abuse, it's ritual abuse. The black rooms, the hidden places. That's right. And it's not just the Catholic Church. The infiltration of the church and the body of Christ, we have tracked. Here and there, there are those, they look like a preacher, they kind of sound like a crazy preacher, they are doing stuff or whatever, but something's not quite right. Real believers who love the Lord, spirit-filled with God's presence and understanding, they see that something is not quite right. But see, that's where it begins. That's where discernment begins. Something is not quite right, and most believers don't know what to do with that. You know, it's going on, going out, getting something to eat, moving on. If God, listen, if you're going to give yourself to God and say, listen, just, you know, just stand before God and say, Lord, I know you. I love you. I want to win everybody to Christ. I know the battle's going on. And I am offering my life to be used in particular, well, with a particular aim, to reach out to find the victims. If there are really 4.5 million, if Colin Ross, the psychiatrist, is correct, in the United States, if there are 10 million adult victims, then what about the next generation and the next and the kids? Are we now calculating 40 million? Does that knock you off your chair? Are you wondering what I'm rambling about? Yes, I believe at this very moment, it is a providential moment for some of you. I believe that there are victims that listen, sometimes get triggered, and as their emails tell me, subpersonalities, coven loyal, hang up, shut off the computer, and won't listen. Or they will push them out of the way and listen to what I'm saying. Or they will do rituals summoning powers and send that against us. Some have come here to the house. Some have written letters. Some have left occult symbols marked or drawn in whether animal or human blood. You see, we've been doing this a long time. We don't report everything. And our heart is just simply involved in sharing the living Christ with everybody, you included. And if you don't know him, I'm going to tell you, you need him. He desires you. He's come after you. Christ, God, loves you. Without him, you remain lost. You're already lost. You're already separated from God. You already know that. Even if you're a psychic, a remote viewer, a spiritualist, you've got spirituality going on for you left and right. Do you know God? Do you know God? Do you know God? Do you have the indwelling of the Spirit of God? Do you know the living Christ? So what I'm going to say right now is this. We are ramping up our, you know, I can't tell you everything that we're involved in. And I know of individuals that are involved in hunting down the whole connection of crossbreeding, Nephilim, all that kind of stuff. I know that there are those. If it's real, what I found out in prayer, by the Spirit's leading, as we step out with a lot of prayer, it is without question, it can be found out. But we're not talking about something that's easy. We're talking about something that needs hours of prayer, intensity, that needs aim, that needs the Spirit of God's leading, that needs individuals that won't go off, crazy, and just run out somewhere where you think a ritual's going on. Listen, you know what happens if you go to an area where a real ritual is going on? You know what happens? Your goose is cooked. And for the Satanists out there, you know that's true. I'm talking about the undergrounders, the brotherhooders. You know that it's true because they've got perimeter, a ring of people, 2 and 3 rings out. They've got night vision. They've got their spirits that warn them. The area is prepared, whether it's a double basement, a barn, whether they're using the inside of a local church. That's right. They love to infiltrate and then somehow get access to where they can come into the building. You see how easy it is for churches. Pastors, listen to me. All an infiltrator has to do is, on a Sunday evening, get lost in your church and hide. I was pastoring what was once one of the largest churches in the world, and it went through all kinds of crazy stuff. The individual is worldwide known. He just died here a couple of years ago. But anyway, when I came into it, we had a great heyday of evangelism. Hundreds and hundreds were getting saved, and we were doing conferences with our organization, Shatter the Darkness. We brought law enforcement agents in. We were doing all kinds of stuff. We had victims coming everywhere, but we also had infiltrators, Satanists coming by groups of 6 and 7 to stand in a meeting and do chaos rituals and other things to bring harm. We've had those who walked right into that building. This was the heydays when Akron Beacon Journal was writing stories about it. But in that building, if anybody stayed, hid somewhere, they could easily... I'd been in that building by myself in the middle of the night, just in intercessory prayer, praying. It was a big old, used to seat 7,000. They whittled it down to 3,000. Massive dome. But it's exactly where these kind of undergrounds would love to come. But I'm just saying, you see some of the places. So as you simply say, you know what? I feel called. I realize now I want to do something about this. I'm asking you to at least, it's all free, the Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. If you ever do get the book, The Black Awakening, that deals with all of this, there's about 100 hours of MP3 training on The Black Awakening, on the underground satanic ritual abuse, on how they do it, what their agenda is, all kinds of experiences. Those 100 hours include a 25-hour training on basic healing, deliverance, and working with victims of satanic ritual abuse. Some basics on spiritual warfare. But I'm going to say right now, anybody who's read the book, I'm building this new series for you Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. I'm encouraging you to get that. Now, I know that some of you are waiting right now. Get to the movie, Russ. Get to the movie. Because we had a friend, Paul, that wrote and others that said, Russ, what do you think about the movie? Well, I hadn't seen it. I hadn't seen it at all yet. But we ventured out today. And as I would do, not for entertainment at all, gosh, no, but simply for research, I watched it. Let me go over the movie just a little bit and relate what was not true about the real stuff going on and what did look real. Everything I've read so far about the background of the movie, that it wasn't really real. But all I can tell you is whoever actually did the stuff maybe did know some factors. The movie The Last Exorcism involves what some call an evangelical preacher. He's not an evangelical preacher. He's kind of an older Pentecostal version, and you know, it kind of shows his dad and just simply an older version of a small, you know, church ministry where this young man is raised up, and he literally turns into a fake preacher and a fake exorcist, and he knows he is. And he knows he's doing it for money. And so at the beginning, it really brings out the mockery. And that's why some have called what, and again, this movie tries to look like a documentary. And some have called it a mockumentary. That it's really mocking everything about, you know, church and religion and exorcism and the whole thing. But let me tell you something. And it's kind of done like the Blair Witch Project. It's kind of done like that. And as you're watching it, the individual that plays the preacher, he does a good job. And let me say something about the fake. And he does. He shows himself to be fake, not a real believer, not someone who really has the Spirit of God inside of him. Because I would say that somebody who's real would not, you know, is not gonna put out what this guy did. So the movie shows a guy that's raised in it all. He can speak all the lingo. He can say all the words, but he has no power. There is verse in Scripture that talks about, you know, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. You could be raised in church and know the lingo. You could be raised in church and know all the stuff and still not be born of the Spirit of God and know Christ. Going to church, being raised in church, doesn't save you. It's when you receive Christ, the living Christ, actually comes into your life. The evidence of a real believer, the Holy Spirit of God inside of them. The evidence that they love Christ, know they are saved, and begin to follow him. Now, in this movie, the guy is clearly not one of them, but knows all of the jargon enough to fake everybody to make money. But he gets called into one more exorcism in which he takes a team to film it. So he goes out to do this and show the filming and everything else, but here's what happens. First of all, in watching it, it does bug me that there are fakes out there like this. And it's sad of the damage that fakes do to others, to people's lives. One wonders about Sam Kinison and his being raised in a Pentecostal church and then becoming what he did and all that happened to him. So as you watch it, they go again down south, backwoods country. The man lost his wife. The daughter is the one having problems. The son is, you know, he's kind of checking everything out. So the fake preacher goes with his camera crew and begins to engage the girl. He sets up this mock exorcism with all these tricks and then claims that it's done. He gets his money and he leaves. But during the night, the girl from the farm, the teenage girl, I think she's around 13, 14, shows up at his hotel room. That's when all the stuff begins. That's when all the real weird stuff begins. And it begins to show stuff where she's out, you know, killing a cat, blood is shed, blood is on her. Things begin to occur. The dad begins to realize that his daughter's got something very evil in her. Pretty soon it's found out after she's taken to a hospital that she doesn't need psychiatric drugs because she's pregnant. The dad thinks it's a demon that did it. The fake preacher thinks, and again, the story comes out that maybe some boy down at in the city, the area, at a cafe, did the, you know, impregnated the girl. So the story begins to show that the girl goes, I mean, she just freaks out. All kinds of things are occurring. You see some real kind of demonic stuff maybe occurring. But then you begin to see the girl breaking down. You begin to see her do this artwork and all these things that begin to occur that demonstrates some of the satanic ritual abuse where there are sub-personalities that do know what went on. And do tell a few things. When it seems like in the movie it's all over, that she's going to get help now, that the shame of her having sexual relationships with a boy is found out, and all these things occur as the fake preacher, who at one time tries to act like he's going to get right with God because he knows he needs God's power. I don't know if there's anybody out there that goes and finds out they're engaged with something way beyond, I mean, it's way over your head. So the end of the movie, the preacher and the camera crew, they decide they need to go back. They talk to the boy at the cafe and find out he didn't impregnate the girl because he's gay. He wouldn't have wanted to be with the girl. All of a sudden, they begin to connect the dots. They're going to go back to the farm. When they get there, nobody's around, but they hear noise. The camera crew begins to go back into the woods. A big fire is going on. And guess what? The local preacher, robed in satanic robes, ritual is going on. I won't tell you all the story, but what's being done at the ritual is something a little bit true. That a pregnancy, the desire for a hybrid pregnancy and the opening of a door to let demonic powers come in. So the camera crew and the fake preacher engage this. The fake preacher gets brave enough to go out there to kind of go after the demonic power and stop the abuse of the 13-year-old. Do you want me to tell you the rest? Again, just a movie, but it does represent. What's not real about it is, again, the fact that it was just simply a movie, and but I'm going to tell you right now that we've been, and I sat there a couple of times and just wept. Just, I and my wife, we're the only ones in the entire theater. Nobody else was there. And I wept because of the stories of girls, of kids, of victims that we've dealt with. And they've been perpetrated upon. They have had so much abuse. To the perpetrators that may listen, I think they would say, good try, but you didn't expose enough. I think victims, real victims of satanic ritual abuse that would watch this, that they would say, let me give you an alert. You'll probably be triggered a number of times. All the victims out there that would see a movie like this, you're going to be triggered, and they're going to be sub-personalities that know the rituals, that know the languages that are demonized, come up and watch. I'm very sure that I will, after this show tonight, get emails, some of which I can probably share on Friday night, and tell you what some of them are saying. And I'll even say now, I invite you to write. If you're a perpetrator, you know, somehow, you know how it all works, send in something. Some of you have sent letters to the P.O. box. No return address. No signature. Others of you have been willing enough, and even sub-personalities committed to the rituals, committed to the dark side. I'm going to tell you what. I'm saying that we have dealt with sub-personalities that know the ancient languages, that have been in hundreds of rituals, and they love it. They love it. Let me say to law enforcement and to those that want to investigate and hunt it down, I would say on a chance level, you may break through. I'm saying that massive prayer and massive commitment to asking God to break open what's going on in your city is going to be needed, and a willingness to go in, specifically around the dates of rituals. The ones listed, you know what, I'll put a link up on my site later tonight or tomorrow, next to Thursday night's show. That's one of the best little calendars, I think, out there. But again, they only give what's the basics on the calendar. There are literally dozens of other kinds. And let me say this about fake exorcisms and, you know, the good, this fake preacher, part of what he wants to do is expose the frauds. A fraud exposing the fraud. And he wants to expose fraudulent exorcists. Let me tell you the simplicity of exorcism. Look at Luke's gospel. Look at Mark's gospel chapter 5. Look at Luke's gospel chapter 10. Watch how Jesus does it. He never uses a plastic bag and put it over a person's head. He never rolls up a kid in a carpet. He never chains people to a chair. He never throws oil all over them. He never takes salt and makes a ring of salt around them. Jesus never does it. Jesus never teaches it. The disciples, early believers in the book of Acts, for 30 years, they follow the teachings, the simple teachings of Jesus, and they do it like he did it. And a good example, Acts chapter 16. It involves a girl, probably a teenage girl. She was being used. She had a demon that the Greek would say was a python that gave her the ability to predict pieces of the future, or at least attempt to. Kind of like Sylvia Brown's spirit guide, Francine. Look what happens, Acts 16. Anybody looking at the Bible and sees deliverance, listen, people have interviewed me over the last few years. They introduced me as, well, this is Russ Dizdar. He's an exorcist. Or he's in deliverance ministry. Let me tell you something. We call it a freedom encounter. I don't care about the terms exorcist or even deliverance any longer. Our goal has never been to do stuff and bring and drag victims out into videos and bring unhealed people out there to display them. Especially unhealed victims who have cult-loyal personalities that may take them back to the coven. Let me tell you what Jesus is all about. Healing, delivering, helping, restoring. And that's what the living Christ is all about. Psychiatry spending millions and millions of dollars. All of us know that when your insurance money runs out, if you're a victim, they boot you right out of the psychiatric ward, whether you're healed or not. Some will use hypnotherapy and drug therapy and so forth just to keep the personalities down and to shut the ability of the demons down through psychotropics. Doesn't bring any healing. All I can tell those listening in this short hour that we've had tonight in discussion is the soul incredible compassion of Jesus Christ. And if I could urge you to study the Gospel of Mark, if you read chapter 1, you'll see everything. You'll see what Jesus Christ is all about. From the very beginning, unleashing good news, healing lives, and causing the exposure of and expelling demonic presence out of people's lives. Well, we've always said in our teachings, the proof is in the pudding. If it's really demonic presence and you really have a real believer with the authority of Christ that has some level of experience, then the demonic will be engaged. Now, I've seen it hundreds of times. I've seen people come in that had no demons, but their own sin issues dealt. They felt this, or they felt, you know, they just felt guilty and wrong and evil, and they wanted to make sure they had no demons. And so there's a way to test, there's a way to pray through, but there's also a way to engage. You see, I've already learned that those listening by the thousands, those downloading by the thousands, there will be even demonized people there. I have emails. I have emails in front of me right now of people out of another nation, out of other states. They're all begging to come in here. They're all begging for prayer for deliverance. We're jam-packed. My apologies to a lot of people that are in distress, but I'm just a man. And I know that we have done a lot of deliverances, and we've done a lot of things, and we've been willing to go a lot of places. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ alone is God, Savior, King, Deliverer, and Helper. And I pray that you'll just turn to Him. Ask Jesus to deliver you and help you. Ask Him to lead you to somebody in your city. And we will be getting back to individuals, and we will continue to set up people coming in or bringing me out there to you. But I'm one person. There are hundreds of you believers listening that in Christ, John's Gospel, chapter 15, you've been chosen to go bear fruit. And the normal training is how to win souls, how to pray for the sick, and how to cast demons out. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, is the foundation of what a Bible school, a training center, a seminary should be about. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, is where the foundations of all ministry, church ministry, it's where all of us as disciples should have our basic training. Take a read. Be trained. Let Christ use your life. For those brand new tonight, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the site, on the web. Shatterthedarkness.net on the web. I pray the hand of God be stretched to you and to minister to you. If you don't know Christ, right now turn to the living Christ. Ask Him to come into your life. Receive Him as Savior and Lord. Write to us. To the perpetrators, God knows what you've done. You're going to pay a price. To the victims, a Savior who died on a cross. He knows victimization. Seek Him. Keep us in your prayers this week. For those who can, keep us in support. Take a look, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Hundreds of things for you free. And may God's grace and mercies be with you. This is Russ Dizdar. Going to tell you good night tonight. See you on Friday.